Welcome everyone to the first ever Indiania podcast episode. We hope to do a couple of these episodes in a year to add to the written content on the blog and to give our readers the opportunities to hear from our writers on different topics. Indiania launched in August 2014 with the goal of being a space where Christian women in India could discuss faith and life in community with other women. A space where women who happen to all live in one diverse country could build a community in India and beyond that would inspire, encourage, and help them grow in their faith. I am Sue, your host, along with Shobna, and we have Kim, Susan, and Ruth joining us today. Welcome, ladies. I'll just briefly introduce myself first, and then we'll proceed with the others. My name is Susan Gordon, but I like to be called Sue, and it works out well today because we have another Susan amongst us. My kids, husband, and I live in Bangalore in the SIACS campus and worship at New City Fellowship. We moved here from Delhi about 8 years ago, and I've started working after a 7-year break for a Christian organization called Resound. It's a network of churches in Asia Pacific. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. May I invite you ladies to introduce yourself briefly now, starting with Kim.
Hi, I am Kim Freeman. Obviously, I am not Indian, but we currently live in North Carolina, my family and I. We have, my husband and I have a few kids, and we lived in India for about 5.5 years from 2010 until 2015. And during that time, God really stretched me. I love other cultures. I love the Indian culture. After some time, obviously it took a little time to adjust for me, just because I was born and raised in the southern part of the US. Now I'm a teacher. I teach middle school, which is its own interesting challenge. And I paint and I also write, but I write a little less now just because I have a little less space to do so. But definitely feel God has created me to create. And I love that you all are doing this today because it's such a neat space to talk about this.
Over to you, Susan.
Okay, so I'm Susan also. And thank you, Sue, for going as Sue today so there would be too much confusion. So I'm a mom of two teenagers, which makes me feel, I was going to say old, but I'll just say wise. Well, I've been writing for Indiania for about 6 or 7 years, maybe a little longer now, I'm not sure. I have my own blog as well, which I update every week. Even if I don't have too much to say, I like to stay consistent. So I just write every week on the blog. And other than that, I recently discovered that one of my big pastimes was browsing the Swiggy app. I love skydiving or trekking or something. I was like, no, I just usually browse the Swiggy app and look for different food options. It's really sad. But other than that, I do like hosting people at home. I love baking and I love having conversations with people. So that's me.
Yeah, thank you, Susan. Ruth?
Yeah, hi, everyone. I'm Ruth. I'm a writer, an editor, and recently I've started painting, so I kind of become an artist as well. And I've been married to Abhishek for 13 years. We live in Chennai, and we have 3 children who are interesting and a handful, but it's good. We worship at Ashraya Chennai. Basically I like collecting bookcases, as you could probably see from behind me. And right now we have more bookcases in the house than kids. So yeah, I think every room has a bookcase. So yeah, that's a bit about me.
Thanks, Ruth. Shobi?
So I'm Shobna Vetrival and I live in Delhi, a city that I really love. My educational background has been in social development and theology. And so I worked in both development and ministry settings, including a local church. And I currently work with a theology school that's based out of Delhi. And I have to admit this, but I really enjoy studying. And so right now I'm pursuing a PhD in practical theology and looking at singleness in the church in India. And I am single myself, and I live with my mom and my sister. I worship at Redeemer Delhi, and some of the things that I really enjoy doing are reading, traveling, having good coffee and conversations with people, and long afternoon naps.
Sounds good.
Okay, to start us off, Kim, you are the founder of Indianya. So tell us how Indianya began, the idea, the vision, and the story behind the name.
Sure. So I think a lot of things in my life, and I think probably you all would agree, the things that God has been doing in and through his work in your life, and maybe even out of the hurts or even out of the things you deeply long for, those are usually the things that sort of spill out, right? So in 2014, I was feeling this kind of lack of community, even amongst like where I was, because, you know, we were living in India, we were a little isolated, we lived out in Noida, and I would see people regularly, but not as regularly as I really like. God really started to work in me this just desire to see more and more resources for women. I was actually meeting with some young women in India at the time, and I would ask them, what are you reading? What do you like? What Indian authors do you like? And they really were not, there weren't a lot of options, and maybe there were, they just weren't aware. And that's probably true. But in the realm of just women who are Christians, I know there's just so few Christians in India, but I really started thinking, and it kind of sparked this idea in my mind, because I loved to write and I had been a blogger, and I loved sharing stories. I loved hearing stories from people. I feel like story is where life change happens. Like, you can hear someone's story and you can relate, and it'll just have an effect on you, right? So I started thinking about this, and I talked to my husband, and he said, you should ask Shobhana her thoughts, because I thought, oh, what if we put together a blog that was for Indian women, because their problems, their issues, their faith is so different from a Western woman's issues in the US, right? And I'm obviously from the US. So I met with Shobhana, and we began talking. And I know meeting with Sue and meeting with Shruti, and just I was actually nervous about that because I wasn't sure. And I can't remember if we had come up with a name at that point, but I really wanted a name that included somehow India, because I wanted it to be really unique to the country. But I wanted it to be something that represented who we were. And the name Anya means grace or gracious. And I just kind of merged those together. I don't know. It's a little prideful, I think, for a Western woman to do that, but I did it anyway. And anyway, meeting with you guys, I was nervous because I was afraid, what if they think this is stupid, right? Like this. And I knew I couldn't do it. Like this was not something I could do on my own. I needed connections. I needed you guys to really buy in. And I just remember sitting in the coffee shop in Starbucks at CP and just really having this great conversation and feeling encouraged. And just this desire also, right, was sort of, I feel like it kind of percolated over time that, okay, this could actually be really good, hearing stories from women and hearing their faith journeys as well could be an actually really inspiring thing.
Yeah, thank you, Kim. Yeah, I remember that coffee at Starbucks. That was truly one of the highlights. Thank you. Over to you, Shobhi. I just want to ask you, being one of the founders of Indianya, how did Indianya come together in the beginning? Like, what excited you about the idea?
So I remember very clearly, it was in March of 2014 that Kim came and spoke to me about her idea of starting a blog by Christian women and to think about it and if I would like to be involved. And I think it came at the right time because I had just taken a sabbatical that year I'd stepped back from an extremely busy schedule and to just think about the things that I really wanted to invest my life in and that I was passionate about. And I was very excited about the blog idea because I am really passionate about creating spaces for people to grow in their spiritual journey. And so a platform that gave women space to share their stories and their struggles and their faith journey with one another, it really excited me. And also, as Kim mentioned, because so many of the resources that are available in India for Christians, they come from the West. And to have resources coming from women in India relevant to our context and our culture, and that can also resource the global church, that was exciting for me and I was in. And so how it came together in the beginning was just getting together a small team of people who were on the same page and who had the skills and the ideas to take it forward. And the team at the time was Delhi based. Yeah, we met in Starbucks, which had sort of, it was just new, I think. And it was Kim and me and Sue and Shruti Rajkumar, and which the team then expanded as we got more writers and others who were excited about the vision.
Thank you, Shobi. Ruth, how did you hear about Indiania? What has been your experience of writing and editing for Indiania?
Yeah, so I remember Ranjit David. He's a pastor of New City Church in Delhi now. But yeah, he's a very close family friend of ours. And when Indiania started, he actually spoke to me and said, you know, there's a group of ladies from our church who are starting a blog. Would you be interested in writing for it? And so he put me in touch with Kim and Shobana. And I think it was all over emails because we've never met. Actually, even now, we've never met in person, but it's always been over email and yeah, now Zoom. But yeah, so that's how I heard about it. And I started writing for Indiana at the beginning. And I think it was last year or the year before last when Shobana invited me to asked me if I'd be interested in editing for Indiana. And since I'm an editor and it's something that I love doing, it comes very naturally to me. It can be annoying at times because I keep nitpicking on everything that I read, but yeah, I love it. So yeah, I accepted and it's been really, I would say just, I've enjoyed having the consistency of writing every month and, you know, just being able to, you know, one of the things that I love about Indiania is that you guys have this, you know, you're very organized. You have a plan for each month. You have like two topics. You have options. And you give us things to think about. And most of the topics I would never have normally gone to on my own and thought about writing about it. But those are things that really make you, I mean, they challenge you. They make you think and, you know, get you thinking mm-hmm. outside the box. And so I've really enjoyed this season of writing and now editing also, but editing is just fun for me. So I just enjoy doing it. So yeah, it's been a good experience.
Thanks so much, Ruth. It's been so great to have you as part of the team as a writer and as an editor. You are one of our most regular writers along with Susan. Susan, you have been one of the most consistent writers since you began writing. I think you've written every month since you began writing for Indiania, and you're almost a professional writer now. So from your experience, how have you seen writing impact people? And how would you encourage someone who wants to write?
Oh, thank you. As far as impacting people goes, I think I'm always blown away. I'm completely humbled when people write in and share that something I wrote has touched their lives. They were walking through a difficult season and the words on the page just jumped out at them. It resonated with them. And that's just a humbling experience. And the other way that I've seen my writing impacting people is when they say something convicted them. And that always comes when I'm not sharing a story that is like a holier-than-thou story, but a very like real story from my life. And when I'm vulnerable with others, but my own shortcomings, people connect with that and they relate to that. And I think writing that is relatable is also very impactful. So I think that's how I've seen my writing resonate with others. You know, it could be just a small little dose of encouragement. It could be just a voice of conviction through the words God gives me to share. And as far as encouraging people to write, you know, I thought about it and I would think I would borrow from Nike and say, just do it. Because, you know, if you don't, it's like a muscle is good a trophy. And, you know, no one's ever going to say, you know, I've arrived, I'm there, now I can write. It's a process, it's a journey, and there's always going to be doubt whether this is good enough, whether you have something important to say. There's always, you know, this, I don't think the second guessing is going to go away. I started my first blog in 2004. I don't know how many years, I can't do the math, but it's been many years since then, right? But I'm always second guessing myself. And I think that's okay for a writer. Just put yourself out there. It'll help you grow with your consistency in terms of writing. And that'll just get your voice stronger as a writer. And eventually that's going to impact people. When your voice is strong, when you're able to dig into your own life, dig into what you observe, what you read, either in the Word of God or, you know, read through the experiences of your life and then share that, that's going to resonate with people. So I would say, yeah, just go for it. If you want, you know, to be that voice of encouragement, go for it.
Thanks, Susan. So if you're listening and you're toying with the idea of writing, do get in touch with us. We'd love to have new writers. So yeah, we want to encourage anyone to join the team of writers. So Sue, you've also been part of Indiania from the beginning. What do you think has been Indiania's uniqueness and impact over the years?
Yeah, thanks, Shobi. I think, like Kim said, Indiania came out at a time where there was nothing like this around. I remember when Shobi talked to me about this in the beginning, I was pregnant with my first baby and I had very difficult first trimester. The first time I got out of the house was to come have that meeting with you guys at Starbucks. So like that excited I was for this meeting, right? So that it just like shows that, you know, we all really knew that this was the need of the hour. And just, I'm just amazed at like how it has grown over the years and the impact it has had on like so many people. Even the people that I know from like other settings have like just randomly brought this up in conversation that, oh, I just read this blog post about this and this. And I'm like, was it on Indiania? And they're like, yeah, how do you know about it? And, you know, it's always a great conversation starter. And like, even like people like all around India, right? So, I mean, it just like proved that, you know, like God was in it from the beginning. And I think like all of us could really just see that, you know, what this could be, right, for women in India. And I think one of the most unique features of Indiania is that we have women from all kinds of different churches writing for us. Right, from like charismatic to Presbyterian, like the range is like really vast. But also I think the unifying factor being like we are really all like just trying to learn from each other. And there is a freedom in knowing that, oh, I'm not the only one, like you are also going through this thing, you know. So as women, I think there are many experiences that are universal, but nobody was really like talking about it. So I think like some of the blogs that we wrote, as in like our writers wrote, like I remember some being, I think like Maria wrote a blog about like My Dark is Beautiful that really resonated with people, you know, with women in India where, you know, like fairness creams are being sold every second, right? And then even like recently, I think Selena George wrote a blog post about the M word we should all be talking about. She talked about menopause and like perimenopause and things like that. So like in a Christian setting, like among Christian women, these kind of conversations have not really happened. So yeah, I think that is our impact and that is like the unique feature that Indiania has. Even I think Taryn Murphy wrote about her experiences with postnatal depression and anxiety. And, you know, things like that have not been really like talked about in an Indian setting. Yes, we do subscribe to all of this, but like Shobhi said, from a Western point of view, right? So like Indian women writing for Indian women, talking about real issues and dealing with it in a personal way, but also like looking at it through the gospel lens. That has been like truly refreshing and yeah, very unique to us. So yeah, I'm just glad I get to be a fly on this wall. So our next question is to you, Susan. How has writing regularly impacted your personal spiritual journey? And how do you handle negative and positive feedback?
Well, okay. I think it's the other way around, kind of like my personal spiritual journey impacts my writing. Mm-hmm. Because in my personal time with God, I'm reflecting on the word, and then I do some Bible journaling. And sometimes that makes its way onto blog posts, not always. I would say maybe 20% of it makes its way into a blog post or a devotional. But that consistent time in the word, away from my phone, writing it down, it solidifies what God is saying to me through his word. It clarifies it sort of, and then I'm able to articulate that sometimes onto a blog post. And I also try to connect it with an experience I'm going through, so that, like Kim mentioned, that story becomes the anchor, because people always connect with stories. So I think it's the other way around. And as far as negative feedback, I don't think I've got too much. My platform is not big enough, I think, for too much negative feedback. Although recently I put up a Lent devotional, and I was taking a break from social media for Lent. And I put up a little, you know, this is my devotional, and now I'm going off social media for a few weeks. And I ingest said, wish me luck, and I put like a smiley face, a winky face emoji, and I got some like flack for that. I don't know, you know, lots of some people, I don't know, I think they're called trolls, right? They were just like, you believe in luck, and you know, all of, you know, and then there was a debate going on, but I couldn't be part of it because I removed myself from social media. But you know, somehow I heard about it, but I think ignoring it would be the way to go. Thankfully, that avenue was already laid out for me, because I'd already quit social media for those few weeks. So it was easy enough. So the way I handle it, I guess, if it comes up again, would be to ignore it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I hope it doesn't. I don't do very well with negative feedback.
Thanks, Susan. Talking about putting yourself out there, Ruth, you recently wrote a post, When Faith Dies, which spoke to so many of our readers, including me. And this is how you start off the post. You say, 2021 was the worst year in all my 39 years on this planet. It ripped me apart in more ways than one. It tore through my defenses. It attacked my marriage and children. But worst of all, it disintegrated my faith. It left me adrift and lonely, broken and beaten, disappointed in myself, and especially disappointed in God. What was your experience of writing this post and being so open and vulnerable about struggles with faith?
So for me, writing has always been a way of clearing my head. It's always been a way of helping me process my own thoughts, my feelings and emotions, even from when I was very young. So I've always looked at writing as something that where I have to always be 100% honest and truthful. I have always felt that there's no point in writing something that doesn't come from the very core of my being. And given that that's the way I approached writing, I actually found it very hard to write in 2021, because I honestly couldn't deal with the things that I was struggling with. And so actually towards the end of 2021, I think the last few months, I stopped writing. I actually didn't submit a post for Indiania. And it was only in the beginning of this year as I started processing what I've we've experienced and all that, you know, as I was trying to make sense of it all, this article kind of was birthed out of that season of pain. And it was very cathartic for me to write it out because it helped me process my own feelings and emotions. And given that what all we had experienced as a family, I couldn't have written something that was not 100% honest. I couldn't have sugarcoated it and, you know, made it sound like I had all the answers or I figured out my faith or had all, you know, that my faith was okay. It was not okay. And I had to first address the fact that it was not okay. Only then I could begin to process it. And I feel that, I think Susan just mentioned that, I think vulnerability is key to writing anything that is relatable to people who read our posts. I mean, if we are not vulnerable, I mean, it won't connect with our readers. And I think that's the magic that, you know, brings articles to life or blog posts to life. And so what I wrote in that article helped me come to grips with my own faith struggle. And it helped me in my journey of faith. And so I'm just glad it was a blessing to others as well. Yeah.
Thank you, Ruth. Yeah, that meant a lot to a lot of us who couldn't put into words like what we were feeling at different times. So thank you for that. Now I want to know what, we have had like so many posts, like I wonder how many we've had so far, Shobi. Do you have a count?
575.
Wow, 575 posts over almost 8 years. That is just amazing. So if you could, and if you would, please pick your favorite Indiania post by yourself or someone else. Which one would it be? Susan, you go first.
Okay. I have to say it was the article that Shobana wrote last year after the passing of her dad, just a few months after that, because that's a fear that we all have deeply ingrained in us, the passing of a loved one. And she says that in the article, you know, the passing of one of her parents was the thing that she had the most fear about. And I think the article is called Facing My Fears, right? Facing my fears and dealing with death, my COVID story. And again, she was brave and vulnerable in sharing that story. And I could just feel my heart break for her story, but also in the sense of me facing my fears in this regard. And the fact that at the end of that article, you know, she was pointing to Jesus, that made the difference. You know, and it wasn't like she was sugarcoating her pain. Her pain was very raw and exposed in that article, but there was also, it was just also infused with hope because she was talking about the character of God. And it said that death didn't have the final say, but the God of hope does and did have the final say in that situation. So that just was a huge encouragement and blessing, especially thank you, Shobi, for that, because it must have been like really difficult to write that post. And, you know, so many people went through tragic circumstances. And I'm sure that was a huge blessing for them, especially in that season. But I'm sure it continues to be as well. So thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Shobi. And Susan, what about you, Ruth? Which is your favorite Indiania post?
I'll try to figure out what that was, because there are so many different ones that I like. Picking one is quite difficult because each one has spoken to me in different seasons of my life. So I've appreciated different ones. But I think the one that I really like right now in this season is probably Deepa's article. It's called Joy in Spite Of. She talks about how in seasons of life when things are going wrong and, you know, you can still find joy in that. And I mean, it's a beautiful article. And what stood out for me in that article was this description of the Hebrew word hesed, which she says towards the end of the article. And it says it's a characteristic of God. And the definition is Hesed means God includes our most painful losses in his unshakable promise to bring us lasting joy. And I just, that just really so beautiful. I mean, something that really strikes a chord with me, because to know that, you know, we are, this is what we believe. This is the God whom we believe in, who is going to make everything come okay at the end, you know, and whatever loss, whatever pain we undergo is not a waste. It's just so amazing. So yeah, this article will probably have to be my favorite right now.
That's beautiful. Thank you, Ruth. And what about you, Kim? Which is your favorite Indiana article?
Well, that's hard, because I'm always delighted to see the gifts of all these incredible women come out. And over the years, I mean, there's so many, right? I didn't realize there were that many. But a few things, obviously anything Deepa David writes has been amazing, because she's so vulnerable, but so wise. I'm so steady in all she shares, and her theology is just, it's just good, right? She always turns things back to the Lord. And then Shruti always would share some really interesting and deep poetry. You know, she always would come in at that cultural moment. Shruti would just share something that made you think. And that was just her, right? So that, I just love that those things that come from everyone are just coming from, I think Ruth said, I can't write anything unless it's coming from the depths of me, right? So, and then Shobi, when you would speak on singleness and single in the city, and we did talk about that a little bit, that I think, yes, you, there was a series, but maybe it didn't, wasn't always a series or something, but you've talked about singleness a lot. And I think, even though I'm not single, I understand from an Indian perspective how deep that is, and how even in our culture, right, in the West, the idea of marriage is so glorified, and that kind of story that you share with so many, you know, it just resonates. And I think we got a lot of feedback, we did get a lot of feedback from that. And I just appreciate you and all the writers, just their vulnerability. And it's hard for me to choose, but I really do. I think just seeing the gifts and the story that God's been writing in everyone's lives coming out and being used for good, and the things, the parts of us that we kind of bring out that we feel are ugly or that hurt us or that causes pain or shame or whatever it is, that God helps us to turn that back into praise to him for who he is, and says, hey, look, yes, this has happened, or this is happening, and this, I don't like this, but God is good, but God can still be trusted, but God is in charge of all the things, and I can trust my life with him. And I love seeing those things come out in all these posts, and just appreciate the I think you guys have said it like a bunch of times, vulnerability, right? Creating a space where women can be vulnerable. And I love that so much. And I think so much of Indian culture just needs, or women in Christian Indian culture need that space to be vulnerable. And I can't even just believe all that God's done through the stories you all have shared. It's just so encouraging to me.
Yeah, true. Thank you, Kim. Yeah, I think like Shobi's articles on like single in the city, like really it was a conversation starter. And like, you know, people were really encouraged as to like, okay, so this is something that we can talk about, right? So like Kim said, you know, as a culture, we glorify marriage, and like everybody's trying to like set up everybody and like things like that. And where somebody comes and says like, you know, no, but like, you know, my sufficiency comes from Christ, and that this is good, and this is a good thing. And to just like hear that, yeah, that was so refreshing and much needed for our time. Yeah, so thank you, Shobi. Would you like to tell us like what your favorite article is?
Yeah, it's very hard to pick a favorite, but I was just thinking a light one. I'll talk about a light one, then I'll talk about a serious one. Susan, every year in summer when I'm eating a mango, I remember your post on mangoes being the highlight of being in India. And so, yeah, it's just something that was so lighthearted, but also so true about summers in India. That's what gets us through Indian summers. And so that really resonates. I think about it a lot. I don't know why, but I do. And then, the other post is a post that I've gone back to many times and where the word stayed with me through one of the most difficult times of my life. And it's a collection of liturgies written by Tia Thomas Alexander. And she wrote it in 2020 when the pandemic had just hit. And we were dealing with so many emotions and so many injustices were coming to light. And the title is Liturgies for Times Such as These. And it had two liturgies, one for grappling with injustice and one for the sad and lonely. And this was reposted again in 2021 during the second wave. And when it was so hard for me to pray, I prayed the prayers of others and who had voiced what I was feeling. And it's the liturgy for the sad and lonely. It starts like this. It says, Lord, we are sad and aching. We feel pain from our skin piercing down into our bones. Our hearts are broken. Lord, have you felt this way? In our isolation, we have felt abandoned. Lord, have you felt this way? And I love the question, Lord, have you felt this way? And because the answer is yes, you know, our Lord has felt this way and he understands. And I can be real about my pain and know that he is near and invites me to come and rest. And so these words ministered to me. And so it has been one of my favorite among the many posts. And so, as I mentioned, Indiania has published 575 posts, and it just feels like it started yesterday. But here's the final question of the day, and that's for you, Kim. So with Indiania being kind of your legacy, how do you think it's impacted Christian women in India? How have you perceived its growth and influence, and especially as you're not living in India now?
Yeah, that was an interesting question. I probably would never use the word legacy just because that feels like a big word to me. But I think if it speaks to anything, right, it speaks just to obedience in small things, right? And so when God was pressing in on me all these feelings that I had, that I wanted to be seen and known, right? Like I wanted to share, or I wanted to bring a community together. That wasn't just me and my longing. That was the Lord placing those longings in my heart, right? Out of the things that I guess that I wanted. I don't know how all this works, right? Like how does, you know, that the deficit that I feel in my own life is also the beauty that God can create out of that longing or that desire. And so I think it really just speaks to obedience, right? For all of you, for all of us to be obedient. We don't know what God's going to do. I really would never have thought that today it would still be going. I didn't know, right? We left it in 2015. So it only been like 2 years, not even 2 years at that point. And so I remember sitting in the US after we had left, editing articles at weird times and you know, we're talking on WhatsApp or whatever. And I'm thinking, oh, how's this going to, is this going to keep going? I don't know. How long can I still be involved? And God did allow me to kind of, you know, scoot out of that a little bit just to kind of, it wasn't mine, right? It was mine to give. It was mine just to say, I don't know. I feel more like a spark, right? Than a legacy, just to say, maybe this is something we should do. And you guys ran with it. And that was beautiful. And so I think if anything, it highlights the importance of a woman's voice, of creating space, of vulnerability, of telling stories. And I just hope that that's what continues to come from it. And maybe just more women. I love that you already gave the shout out to invite other authors on there. I remember we were always like, okay, who are we getting to write today? Who's going to write this post? And just as people have come on and been part of things, it's been so neat. And some people came in for a little while and some people stayed. And that's just the Holy Spirit at work in their lives and sharing. And so anyway, I hope, and I hear from you all that it is great. I probably don't hear as much on this side of things, but I know you've got some shout outs from like different blogs and other places. And that's been exciting. It really is. It makes me feel like, I mean, I know sometimes I feel like we do a lot of ministry here in the US and I sometimes don't see fruit. So if anything, it's encouraging to me to see the fruit, right, of just obedience. Because sometimes in ministry, and I know a lot of you all are in ministry as well, you can miss that. And you just need to see a little bit that God, okay, obedience. I mean, we know it matters, but just to see that there is fruit that you can see and there is goodness in just following the Lord.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Kim. I know you called it a spark, but it truly is your legacy. You know, like we can't think of Indiania without thinking of you. And we thank God for your obedience in this matter. So yeah, I can't believe with that, we've come to the end of our first ever Indiania podcast episode. We hope to do more episodes in the future and are very excited to see what the Lord is going to do through this website for the next 8 years and beyond. I had such a great time talking to all of you all and hearing about you know, your journey with Indiania. And I really thank God for your wisdom and dependence on God in writing these posts, right? And sharing it with us so we can share it with other women who are very much blessed by your writing and your obedience. Like Kim said, you know, like it truly is a great skill to be able to write and for it to resonate with other readers. So yeah, I appreciate you all and your talents. I also want to really take out this time to thank Shobi, who practically runs the ship, right? Like she has consistently been working behind the scenes of Indiania right from the beginning when all of us have taken off time through the years. So thank you, Shobi, for all that you are doing for the women in India. We appreciate you so much, and you are truly such a gift to the women in India. And with that, we have come to an end. Thank you again, ladies. I hope to talk to you all soon. Good night and good morning to you, Kim. Have a good day.